This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. Excuse me. This is Gun Owners News Hour. A lot of little things that popped up that I want to talk about today. Like how the issue of guns and gun ownership shouldn't be this complex. There's reasons for it. And there's a certain degree of nuance in a lot of aspects of the topic that, you know, quite frankly, a lot of people don't really want to understand. But in this day and age, a lot of people are buying guns, and they're not just your average, ordinary, right-leaning gun nut doing that. Now, yeah, those guys are buying guns, too. But they're far from the totality of customers at the gun shops. And CNN, of all places, opted to talk a bit about it. And in particular about the racial diversity of new gun ownership, including leftists who now own guns, or liberals, as they put it. And I wonder if they actually are liberal versus being leftist. Liberals for liberty. You know, they may have a different philosophy about how we get to a certain thing, but, you know, and this is just me giving them. They probably would vote leftist, I don't know. And they now own guns, and what those new gun owners face from their leftist friends. Now, at one gun shop, a guy named Gwen says his clients are mostly leftist and from all backgrounds, genders, and sexual orientations. And he prides himself on creating an inclusive student base. He said, the more I educate those who are formerly anti-gun, the more they actually realize that there's more nuance to it. And here we have two examples. Both Mendez and Regalado now have their own guns and are working toward getting their concealed carry permits. But they avoid talking about their guns with friends who they say are firmly anti-gun. Mendez says they're not really open to understanding, adding that she feels more comfortable discussing her same-sex relationship with friends than her guns. I definitely am more closeted being a gun owner for fear of retaliation. But, of course, we know they'll get hate at the gun ranges, right? Because those are right-wing xenophobic bastions of all that is wrong with America. Or so some on the left like to think. And, you know, then the question becomes, well, what did they find out when they went there? Because, you know, they had to go there. Well, they found something different. Both Mendez and Regalado, at first worried about the type of people they encounter at the gun range, many of whom they say advertise their conservative politics on what they're wearing or listening to. Mendez said, it's mostly all men, mostly all white men, older men like 70s and 80s. Seeing people looking at us and kind of just staring, it always makes us more uncomfortable because we're like, oh my God, are they going to come and tell us, like, get out of here, you don't belong here? That's not what happened. Instead, they've gotten a different reaction. They're like, hey, you're doing well, but can I show you something that might help you more, according to Mendez. Mendez says not only has it changed her impression of those individuals, but she also believes it's given some a different perception of people like her. She said, when I came back the next day, one of the men was like, hey, I saw your wife out there. She looks nice. Tell her I said hi. Now, here's the thing. Mendez is a Hispanic lesbian in a same-sex marriage. She's everything we've been told that the gun-toting crowd absolutely hates and would herd into camps if given the opportunity. And yet, when reality comes around, it's different. And these folks are as nice as they can be. They're offering assistance, doing it in a way that's not condescending, and I might add, and being friendly, fostering friendships with fellow gun owners. Over at National Review, Charles C.W. Cook offered his thoughts on this. He said, this has long been my experience since I moved to America. I've shot at ranges in 20 or so states, and everyone at each has always got on fine. The idea that non-white Americans are only just getting into shooting is a little bit of an overstatement. When I lived in Connecticut, I was a minority at the range at which I used to practice, but it was It is undoubtedly true that gun ownership has grown increasingly racially diverse, and that anti-gun progressives are annoyed by this. For years, gun control activists suggested that all it would take for them to get the strict regulation they covet is for blacks/Muslims/Hispanics to start buying guns. And for years, this has been nothing more than projection. As CNN's story illustrates, it's not Second Amendment advocates who have an issue with non-whites owning guns. It's the people who claim most loudly to champion diversity, but balk the minute that diversity leads to a political or ideological outcome that they personally happen to dislike. Exactly. And, you know, the Second Amendment is for everyone. When Trump was elected and everyone was panicking about the horror stories in their head coming true, you know, I've always said, listen, if you're worried about the government coming for you, go buy a gun. And a lot of people did, and they were from all those groups that we were told would make the GOP start supporting gun control. But they didn't, and they haven't. And the truth of the matter here is that more gun ownership is ultimately good. And how are, you know, we also see that the animosity toward gun ownership isn't purely because most gun owners have different political views. Anti-gunners have no interest in a live and let live approach with any gun owner, no matter what color you are, no matter, you know, what your persuasion is, whether you're a member of the LGBTQ community. It doesn't matter. If you become a gun owner, you have crossed the line. And that in and of itself is it causes issues of a type that they can't get past. And that's the difference between, see, a gun owner is making it, especially a gun carrier. If you are carrying a gun right now for self-defense, you are making a statement. I understand that I'm responsible for my own well-being. I will probably call somebody because that's what I'm supposed to do. But at the outset, I'm going to have to take care of business if there's any business to take care of at all. And that realization, that movement into that sort of thought process, what's amazing about that to me is that most people look at that and they're like, what, you mean you would shoot someone? Nobody that carries a gun goes out at the beginning of the day wanting to shoot anyone, especially people that have shot people before. Nobody, once that happens the first time, nobody wants to do it again. There's nothing fun or cool or anything like that about having to do that. As a matter of fact, it's actually a sad testimony to the fact that right now in your pocket, you're carrying a device that has negated the need for the Encyclopedia Britannica, the phone book, dictionaries. You have more computing power in your pocket right now today than those astronauts in the 60s when they went to the moon. And despite that, we still have a need to defend ourselves against our fellow men. And that's where all that comes in, because when I think about that, when I get to that point, if I have to pull the weapon out, my first thought is going to be that, okay, now I'm in this mode, I'm in self-defense, let's go by the steps, let's make sure we cover all the bases. Afterwards, when it's all said and done, after I'm sitting there and I've gone through all of the histrionics and, you know, physiological shock symptoms that I'm going to have if I have to shoot someone, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, what kind of world is this that we live in, that we have all of this at our fingertips and we still predate on each other? We still have people that are predatory towards their fellow man. I will think about that for a short period of time. But I also will think that it is good that I am here to be able to think about it in the present tense. Second Amendment is for everyone. Doesn't matter what color you are, it's colorblind. And it's blind to everything else. It is the way justice should be. And that's why if you're not imbibing in the Second Amendment, then maybe you should think about giving that a shot. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
All right. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Gun Owners News Hour comes to you from Genesis Communications Network. And Genesis Communications Network is right smack dab in the middle of Minneapolis, where as a boy, I was a Minnesota Vikings fan. They still haven't won a Super Bowl. But I mean, I was a Vikings fan when Carl Eller was on the front, on the defensive line, and Alan Page and Jim Marshall, and when Joe Capp was still a quarterback, actually playing football, back in those days, when Ed Marinaro wasn't an actor. Minneapolis, while I've never visited it, I have ties to Minneapolis. Following the death of George Floyd during an arrest in Minneapolis, a lot of people turned anti-police really quickly. And it wasn't just being critical of the officer's actions during the arrest, but they were critical of law enforcement in general, just the idea of it actually existing. And it sparked the whole defund the police movement, and did so right there in the city. And now it seems Minneapolis is still reeling from the ramifications of that. Telly Blair was among 93 people who were murdered in Minneapolis last year, according to city crime data. That's just a few shy of the total killings in 1995, when the city earned the nickname Murderapolis. Neighboring St. Paul witnessed 38 murders last year, which is also an historic high. After the death of George Floyd while in the custody of police in May of 2020, Minneapolis became a worldwide symbol of the police brutality, long endured disproportionately by black people. In a kind of Newtonian response, the city became the epicenter of the culturally seismic defund the police movement. But that progressive local effort fizzled with a decisive referendum last November. Now, with its police department under investigation by the Department of Justice, the city of 425,000 is trying to find a way forward amid a period of heightened crime that began shortly after Floyd's death. That year, the number of murders soared to nearly 80, dwarfing the 2019 body count of 46. It has cooled somewhat this year, although the amount of killing and violent crime in general remains elevated, far above 2019 levels, and homicides are on pace to surpass the 2020 figure. And the reasons why are far from clear. Now, K.G. Wilson, a longtime resident of the Twin Cities, said police withdrew from violent neighborhoods in the aftermath of Floyd's killing, a common sentiment among locals. And this was, of course, the direct effort of the defund movement. Now, police officers in a local municipality work for the city. And in Minneapolis, the city officials turned on their officers. They voted to disband the department, even. Officers quit because they weren't going to stay in a department that city officials wouldn't support. Others simply went through the motions of enforcing the law, knowing full well that anything proactive would be labeled as racist. It's very hard to take a man or woman who had this notion that I was going to serve my community and crush their morale when something happens, and then expect them to go out and do the job, which is so dangerous, and citing that sinking morale in the wake of the unrest after Floyd's killing. Leaders of the Minneapolis Police Department say the officer headcount has shrunk from 900 in early 2020 to about 560 in August, a loss of more than a third of the force. And yes, the criminals, they are a frolicking. They are loving it. Some of them also likely knew that any use of lethal force could be spun as police brutality, at least for a little while, meaning there was even that they were even less hesitant than normal to square off with the police. And the entire situation created a complete mess with the people of Minneapolis, and they're left trying to find a way forward from it. And for what it's worth, there's not much effort to defund them there today. Apparently, the rampant crime has a way of solidifying support for law enforcement. But it's interesting that even a reporter for CNN could see that. More importantly, though, the people of Minneapolis could see it. They rejected shutting down their department and folding it into a progressive dream of a department of public safety that would focus more on public health than law enforcement. Public health is great. It's good. It has its place. However, when somebody's stabbing somebody, that's not a public health issue. This is a ride in there and deal with the dude issue. Or female issue, whichever it may be. Now, while all of this has cooled, the damage has been done. and it's going to take years to repair. And make no mistake, there are problems with the department there. There were problems before this, during this, and there's problems now. There's reform needed in that department. But Minneapolis city officials went about it all wrong. And now the people there are paying the price. Now going from Minneapolis to New York City. Following the Bruin decision, the state of New York decided to enact new gun control laws. It sort of looked almost like they were trying to comply with the court's ruling. But it's more, it would look that way if you were drunk and you don't have your glasses on or something. That's not what they were really doing. Anyway, they jumped on board and used the law to restrict guns pretty much everywhere they thought they could get away with it, which that's something that's being fought now. The new measures, we were told, were necessary to prevent bloodshed on the streets of the Big Apple. Apparently, in New York, the human beings there, the American human beings in New York City, given a chance at carrying guns, would shoot each other in the street just if, for, hey, look, there's a person over there. Bang! That's what they would do. So they restricted them in every place possible. Every place is a sensitive place to be. And that's all working out beautifully. Between Tuesday going into Wednesday in a 16, what was the amount of time this was? 16 hours. 16-hour time span. From Tuesday into Wednesday, 16 people were shot, despite the passage of the new gun controls, which include the establishment of gun-free zones through the city, which means the entire city is a gun-free zone, and yet 16 people were shot in 16 hours. From 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m., or excuse me, longer than that. That was 7:30 a.m. was when the 16th victim was shot and wounded. The 16th victim was a 42-year-old man who was standing, on Tyboat Avenue near East 182nd Street in Fordham Heights when he was slashed in the face and shot in the back by two gunmen who took off on a dark-colored scooter. The getaway vehicles are getting smaller and smaller. The Post notes the gunfire broke out in every borough during the 16-hour time frame. Raise your hand if you saw that one coming. You know, if you're looking around right now, you say, wow, that's a lot of hands. Of course, we kind of all had to know it would come down to something like this. Hochul's bluster about how this simply had to be done, and Mayor Eric Adams saying pretty much the same thing. No amount of rhetoric can change the fact that criminals don't follow these laws. While more people can carry a firearm there, the reality is that because the laws are what they are now, it's a carry permit may as well not exist. But now the criminals, who are not restricted by any of this, they're running around and gunning anybody they want to. So, the laws in question only inhibit the law-abiding citizen and do nothing to reduce crime. Gun control doesn't save lives. It costs them. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. President Biden Friday gave his first on-camera reaction to Russian President Vladimir Putin's annexation of some Ukrainian territory, saying that his actions are a sign that he is, quote, struggling, and that the U.S. will never recognize that action. Hurricane Ian now making landfall in South Carolina like Florida. Authorities in South Carolina urging those in Ian's path to obey directives and evacuate if necessary. FEMA's Ann Bink Friday afternoon, warning residents in other states should prepare for the worst. The NFL community was quick to question the Miami Dolphins for letting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa take the field for Thursday night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. 4 days earlier, Tagovailoa appeared to have suffered a head injury after taking a big hit against the Buffalo Bills, but he returned to that game just a few series later. This is USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
This is Gun Owners News Hour. Don't you just love it when something happens that nobody intended for it to happen? Especially when they're leftists. It's always so, it's so delicious, the taste of that. When Baltimore Sun columnist Dan Rodericks sat down to pen his latest screed, he was going to try to lay out the case against shall-issue concealed carry. And instead, he ended up demonstrating the failure of Maryland's many gun control laws when it comes to preventing crime, and inadvertently making the case for more Marylanders to exercise their right to armed self-defense. I got a friend, Jeff Adamson, mail carrier in Maryland. He had the same kind of heart attack I had. He rehabilitated the same way I did. And he got his permit the other day, and he sent me a text saying, "I can't believe I got this." I mean, if I had been there with him, I would have hugged him just because he had been there and suffered through all of that stuff until it finally got to where he could have that permit, which he should have lived somewhere. That Maryland should be somewhere where that just happens by default. But anyway, Maryland was one of a handful of May issue states that, thanks to the Supreme Court's decision in the Bruin case, are grappling with moving to a shall issue system that, in theory anyway, should actually make it easier for responsible gun owners to exercise their right to carry. Now, Roderick doesn't like this. He bemoans this current state of affairs by pointing to a recent report from the Bloomberg-funded anti-gunners at Johns Hopkins that purported to find states that relaxed their concealed carry laws saw a rise in violent crime, which is a finding not borne out by other studies that have found no statistically significant association between the liberalization of state-level firearm carry legislation over the last 30 years and the rates of homicides or other violent crime. Which, if Roderick were to look a little closer, he would actually find out that these people are just the most law-abiding people known to man. And getting a permit to carry a gun does not mean you're going to go knock off the 7-Eleven. It just does. The guns and the permit just don't talk to you with devices. Now, Roderick doesn't bother to mention the study that contradicts the Johns Hopkins report, and why would he? He's got a narrative to push. He's convinced that concealed carry is a terrible idea. If you wanted a permit to carry a small, easily concealable handgun in Maryland, you had to apply for one from the Maryland State Police. And you had to have a good reason. His words, I'm telling you now. Certain business owners and people who had been threatened or physically abused sought a concealed carry permit for self-defense. That always made sense. It was prudent. But then in June, the Supreme Court tossed aside the concept of may issue versus shall issue in the state granting of permits. The court ruled unconstitutional New York's law requiring that people who wanted to carry a gun demonstrate they had proper cause or special need. Permits can still be required, but the state's authority is now greatly reduced. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan wasted little time in making the gun-obsessed happy. Yeah. He issued an order to bring state policy in line with the Supreme Court ruling, and a flood of applications for permits quickly followed. Now, it wasn't prudent. It was prohibitive. And it did nothing to prevent Marylanders from violent crime. All you have to do is compare what happened in Florida, where shall issue concealed carry was adopted in 1987, with the may issue Maryland homicide rate over the past few decades. In 1987, Florida's homicide rate was a whopping 11.4 per 100,000 people, higher than Maryland's homicide rate of 9.6. Between 1987 and 2019, Florida's homicide rate declined by more than 50% to 5.2. Even as the number of licensed concealed carry holders grew to 2.5 million. My state only has 6 million people. So in my state, that would mean 50% of the people had permits. May issue Maryland, on the other hand, has seen some swings in its homicide rate over the years, but nothing you would call a steady decline. Murders peaked in the state in 1993 at a rate of 12.7, but after slowly declining to 8 per 100,000 in 2000, when Florida's homicide rate had fallen to 5.6, the number of homicides in Maryland started trending upwards again. There were several more years of falling homicide rates in Maryland between 2008 and 2014, when the state saw an historic low of 6.1. Florida's homicide rate that year was 4.9. But the homicide rate jumped to 9 per 100,000 in the wake of the Freddie Gray riots in Baltimore. And since then, the murder rate has never fallen below 8. And incidentally, the last time Florida's homicide rate was as high as 8 was 1994, nearly 30 years ago. Maryland fares a little better when looking at overall crime, violent crime rates, but Florida still comes out on top. Since 1987, violent crime per capita has declined in Maryland from 767.8 per 100,000 to 454. In Florida, on the other hand, they saw their violent crime rate drop from 1,024 to 378 over the same time period, a much larger drop and a lower overall level of violent crime compared to the May issue state. In Maryland, all of their patchwork weavings of gun control laws are routinely ignored by violent criminals, while law-abiding individuals with more to lose are subjected to numerous infringements on their right to both keep and bear arms. And if Dan Roderick or any other Maryland resident is delusional enough to believe that the state's gun laws have been keeping them safe, they should book a flight to Shall Issue, Florida. Although they might want to wait till Hurricane Ian's been cleaned up and see for themselves how the Second Amendment and a safer society go hand in hand. Swinging over to Massachusetts, I saw, I think it's called Edge of Darkness. It's a Mel Gibson movie where Mel Gibson is a police officer in Massachusetts, and he's talking to some kid, and the kid says, "I thought this was illegal in Massachusetts," and Mel Gibson looks at him and says, "Everything is illegal in Massachusetts." Now, there's this town called Littleton. And they have this old mill. And there's a collection of gun makers and sellers that are doing business in this old mill. And nobody knew this was happening until the Boston Globe revealed this. And they accuse the businesses of exploiting loopholes and gray areas in the law to sell military-style firearms and other firearms forbidden by the state. However, one official told angry residents that there was no evidence of any of the companies operating out of the former Elastic Mill that had broken any laws in any way. And here we have, once again, the creativity of the leftist fake stream legacy media. What you have here is a cluster of 80-plus gun dealers operating out of an industrial mill, and they were subject to a Globe story, have not been found to have committed any illegal activity, but he would not say if they'd violated the Attorney General's controversial directives on the assault weapon ban. Now, this guy's name, what is this guy's name? Matthew Nordhaus. He's a select board chair. He said the dealers have met all requirements stipulated by the town, and the Littleton Police Department has received no complaints of illegal in-state sales by these dealers, nor has illegal activity been found during the required inspections. So that's interesting because with gun dealers, and especially gun builders can operate behind the lines, so to speak, as long as they don't sell in that area. So, you know, if they sell over the border, why, those guns are just as legal as a day as long. And I would be sitting, what do you call somebody that lives in Massachusetts? A Massachusettsian? I don't know. I'm just asking. If I were a resident of Massachusetts, I'd be going, do I live in the United States or East Germany? Now, in Littleton, apparently, there's a bunch of vociferous opponents about this, and they wanted to know what was going on. And in the end, they're talking now about buying the mill and turning these guys out just because they're selling guns and they're not breaking the law. So we're going to buy the mill and put them out. Ah, the tolerant left. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks.
Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
One more time, eh? No, I'm not going down and getting my back cracked. I got, what have I got going on today? First of all, I'm going to try to get rid of all of the congestion, which I always seem to have during the fall. Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. No, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, you know, the boogieing Prime Minister, she's calling for tighter regulations on internet speech, suggesting that disinformation should be treated like gun control. This according to the Daily Fetched, whatever that is, citing her address to the United Nations General Assembly. Ardern called for disinformation to be treated like bullets, bombs, and nuclear weapons, arguing that a lie online or from a podium does not immediately kill people like the weapons of old, but could be more dangerous in the long run. Now, of course, this is following the leftist idea that disagreement is misinformation. Different opinions are misinformation. Ardern declared, "We came together as communities to minimize these threats. We created international rules, norms, and expectations. We never saw that as a threat to our individual liberties. Rather, it was preservation of them." So she's literally saying that freedom is slavery, and in Ardern's case, especially in bringing it to the UN, that's an appropriate translation. David Kojer wrote in the Firearms News a few years back, "Global Socialist Leads New Zealand Disarmament Drive." And he said, "Look at New Zealand as a canary in a coal mine of sorts. This is what we have to look forward to if the globalist socialists here continue with their long march toward totalitarianism." In 2008, she was elected president of the International Union of Socialist Youth, an affiliate of Socialist International, which unsurprisingly is heartened by the March of Our Lives movement and its young, useful, idiot figureheads. Among their goals, build a new world order. Now, when government becomes the arbiter of what is allowed and what is deemed disinformation, anyone with different views can forget about having theirs heard, and they'll be lucky if they're only ignored. And let's take an example of the type of gun reporting that New Zealand demonstrated 12 years ago when the Taranaki Daily News published a column wherein their reporter recounted her recent trip to Texas. This coming from Rachel Stewart. "Sitting down for dinner at any Texas diner, in my experience, often involves guns. I can't recall the exact number of times I've eaten a meal in the immediate company of a man or men with shooters on their hips in plain view. For me, I am always equal parts spellbound and queasy. Spellbound because there's something so fundamentally cowboy and western about it. Guns, freedom, country music, and the Second Amendment. Because it was Texas after all. Yeehaw! The one thing she said that was true was that she couldn't recall the exact number of times, and that because at the time of her ridiculing hit piece was written, Texas was not yet an open carry state. She was called on this obviously disinformation, was met back with denials and excuses, and published name-calling and insults from the columnist and her editor, in which they threw everything back at those observations. So, this is to illustrate just the type of public discourse on guns that will be allowed in New Zealand and elsewhere if Ardern and her globalist partners in disarmament and censorship have their way. And in the U.S. too, if we listen to who, what I call the DSM, passes off as a token conservative designated. Like Jennifer Rubin, long cited by the Washington Post as a Republican columnist for balance, has called for the media to abandon balance and impartiality. This is according to Jonathan Turley. He's a Democrat, but he's not a leftist. He said, Rubin is demanding that the media just become overt advocates in refusing to report both sides in the myriad of political issues in this election. And he explains, that balance was once called journalism, but Rubin now calls it facilitating disinformation. Balancing reporting is now dangerous, or balanced reporting. It makes the media a megaphone for disinformation, upholding the pretense that there are two political parties with equally valid takes on reality. Why, that's so Ardern-like of her. Rubin is one of those Vichycon collaborators along the lines of Republicans for Biden, as represented by the Lincoln Project, and conservative William Crystal's Defending Democracy Together. A while back, she was demanding rules that would prohibit media outlets from treating Republicans as normal. So naturally, she comes down squarely on the same side as Ardern when it comes to guns, issuing screeds claiming, already awash with guns, the country has instead witnessed a further relaxation of reasonable gun restrictions. Age limits have been lowered. Gun licensing requirements have been repealed. Gun owners have been allowed to carry concealed weapons. This is gun fetish run amok. Republican politicians pose with weapons of war and campaign ads and shoot at whatever object can be most dramatically destroyed. No sane society would permit this. Well, I hate to point this out to you there, Jennifer. These guys are indicative of the environment in which they live. Those of us that are very reasonable people and that are not criminals, some of us actually understand that sometimes, in defense, you're going to have to get down there and be just as brutal as the criminal is trying to be to you. And these guys get, and you know, an AR-15, Jennifer, if somebody handed me an AR-15 when I was in the military, if they'd handed me an AR-15, I would have beat them to death with it. Because that's not a weapon of war. Because you need that select fire capacity. It's not always good, but it has its points. Now, they don't want you to have guns, and they don't want you to have free speech. And if you can get away with ignoring the Second Amendment, why should you respect the First, and how are you going to enforce it in the first place? The observable truth is that violence monopolists demand all the power. All of it, every bit of it. And that's why they're called totalitarians. And if the globalists have their way, disinformation will be whatever they say it is. Forget arguing about the safety and effectiveness of COVID shots, or questioning climate change, or objecting to the sexualization of children, or challenging election result narratives, or decrying open borders, or criticizing the state enforcement apparatus, or exploring the results of a woman's right to choose, and disputing critical race theory, disproving equity, and opposing common sense gun laws. And don't forget the systemic racism built into the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all that disinformation in the Bible. And everyone realizes that the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights gives the rulers an out, right? Everyone has duties to the community in which alone the free and the full development of his personality is possible. And in the exercise of his rights and freedoms, Everyone shall be subject only to such limitations as are determined by law, solely for the purpose of securing due recognition and respect for the rights and freedoms of others, and of meeting the just requirements of morality, public order, and the general welfare in a democratic society. And those rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. And that's the opposite of the unalienable Bill of Rights culture established by the framers of the Constitution. Rendering citizens defenseless and then muzzling them is so alien to every principle that I cherish that it suggests a paraphrasing of a famous movie tagline. In a police state, no one can hear you scream. Now, the UN can get together and have all the meetings they want. They can have them right in New York State. That's fine, in New York City, as a matter of fact, because they know where they have to go in order to actually be secure. And they know that they're able to do that because in the state, while New York may be sort of a gun desert, especially New York City, the state itself is a pretty big gun state, but New York City is sort of a gun desert. It's surrounded by guns on every side. So they know. They know who has the guns, too. Law-abiding citizens have guns. Criminals have guns, of course. But there's more law-abiding citizens than there are criminals, so they know where they're secure. If they want to get out and maybe say, go, I don't know, put the UN, let's put the UN in Tehran. Pyongyang. St. Petersburg. If they want to go to those places and set up the UN and still preach that nonsense, I'm all for it. You would impress the living stuff out of me if you did that. Because trying to talk that nonsense there in a host country? Well, let's just say you're not going to have to worry about what you're doing for dinner that night. All right. I'll be back again next weekend. Stay awake, stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.